Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Kim Nash.
Later on Building Bridges, landless workers in Brazil occupy the land. But first,
secret ingredient found in Coca-Cola workers' blood with Daniel Kabalik, Associate General Counsel of the United Steelworkers. If we lose the fight against Coca-Cola, we will first lose our union, next our jobs, and then our lives, said Sinatranal Vice President Juan Carlos Galvez of Colombia. The International Labor Rights Fund and the United Steelworkers launched litigation against Coca-Cola and its largest bottler in Colombia, Coca-Cola FEMSA, alleging Coke's complicity with the Colombian Department of Security and the paramilitaries to intimidate, threaten, and ultimately kill trade union leader Adolfo de Jesus Munera. You'll hear now the facts of the suit. Well, let's begin with the murder of Adolfo de Jesus Munera.
Mr. Munera was killed in August of 2002. He had been a truck driver at the Coke Barranquilla, Colombia, for many years. He organized a strike in 1996 at that facility. He then was elected to a vice president position of Sinatranal, the union you mentioned, also the vice president of the CUT, which is the equivalent of the AFL-CIO in Colombia. And because of his union activities at that Coke bottler, the management at that bottler began a campaign against Mr. Munera, in which they began first to publicly accuse him of being a guerrilla, which was totally untrue. And they went to this agency called the DAS, which is the Administrative Department of Security, brought charges to the DAS that Mr. Munera was a guerrilla. They brought the DAS to his home, searching for him to try to have him arrested. He was not at home at that time, and he ended up fleeing into exile with his family for a number of years. Meanwhile, the DAS and the paramilitary groups with which the DAS was working continued to pursue him until finally he returned to his home in Barranquilla in August of 2002 and was ultimately killed by paramilitary groups.
The issue of the real thing, Coca-Cola. What does Coca-Cola, in actuality, have to do with this? It's a company that is located, it's headquartered in the United States. It has various subsidiaries around the world. Why does Coke bear responsibility? Why is there a lawsuit against Coca-Cola?
First of all, the bottlers in Colombia, they operate pursuant to a franchise with the Coca-Cola company. Coca-Cola Company in the U.S., based in Atlanta, receives 80% of its profit from such foreign franchisers worldwide. Also has a great deal of control over these bottlers. In fact, controls the most minute details of production and distribution of the product. In this case, the bottling plant in Barranquilla that we're talking about is run by Coca-Cola FEMSA, which is in fact a joint venture between the Coca-Cola company and another company called FEMSA. And in legal terms, this means that those two companies, the Coca-Cola Company of Atlanta and FEMSA, are jointly liable for any misdeeds of the bottler in Colombia. So legally speaking, the Coca-Cola company is liable for the violations against Mr. Munera by virtue of this joint venture arrangement.
What is Coke saying about this? What's their strategy? Are they saying they're totally innocent of this?
They've had a number of strategies. First of all, the complaint we're talking about regarding Mr. Munera is brand new, so I'm not certain they've made any particular public statements about this case. But we did sue them in 2001 for similar actions at other bottling plants in Colombia. And they've had a number of reactions. I mean, initially their first reaction was, these are just franchises. We don't own these plants. And whatever happened at these plants is not our responsibility. So that was largely their position for the first few years. And then the campaign in the U.S. and around the world began to grow, wherein, for example, universities, at the behest of activist students, began to actually kick Coke off of campuses. And Coke began to realize this was a serious issue for them. So they continued to argue that, well, it really isn't our responsibility if anything happened, but also, by the way, nothing did happen. And so they began to deny, in fact, that the violations we claimed happened did happen, Or if they did, what Coca-Cola would try to say is, well, Colombia is a very violent place. There's a civil war going on. And our bottlers, as well as our workers, like a lot of people in Colombia, have been caught in the middle, and some people have died, and that's too bad, but it's not our fault.
Let's move from their apologies and their excuses to the allegations that have surfaced in recent weeks that the former DOS chief is actually creating and maintaining hit lists of trade unionists along with Coke's management.
What's come out in recent months is that this agency called the DOS in Colombia, which is a hybrid agency. We don't have an analogous agency here. It would be more like a combination of the FBI, immigration, and maybe the Secret Service. And they have a number of responsibilities in Colombia. One has been for some time to actually protect trade unionist under threat. So they've actually received aid, for example, from the USAID to protect trade union leaders who have been threatened. But what's come out in recent months is that, in fact, this DOS, which was supposed to be protecting trade unionists, in fact, has been working with the paramilitaries to kill trade unionists. They've been keeping hit lists of trade unionists for the paramilitaries to kill. And apparently this has gone on for at least the last few years. And a number of people in the DOS agency have been indicted based on the testimony of a former DOS intelligence chief named Rafael Garcia. And in the case we've brought against the Coca-Cola company in regards to Adolfo de Jesus Manera, we're alleging that they collaborated with the DOS, who they knew were working with the paramilitaries at that time. They worked through the DOS to have Mr. Manera assassinated because they were aware of the fact that the DOS, in fact, was assisting the paramilitaries in targeting trade unionists for assassination.
What are you expecting to accomplish with the lawsuit in terms of, are you expecting fines against Coca-Cola? Would people be punished? What do you hope to get out of the lawsuit?
Well, first and foremost, we want to save lives in Colombia. Colombia is the trade union assassination capital of the world. 1986, over 4,500 trade union leaders have been killed. Year after year, Colombia has accounted for between 50 and upwards of 80% of all the trade union killings in the world, which is pretty incredible for a country of 44 million people. And a lot of these killings are being done at the behest of both domestic and international companies like Coca-Cola. And so first and foremost, we want to bring this issue to the public light, hoping that it will protect workers' lives there, that companies will be less likely to do this. And in fact, at least we're told by the clients we represent there at Sinatra Now, for example, the Coke Union, and at other unions we're working with, for example, the mining union that works for Drummond, and that's another case we're working on. We've been told by these unions that, in fact, that they believe that they're safer because we brought these lawsuits. So first of all, that's the first goal. The other goal of the lawsuits, legally we can get compensation from Coca-Cola for the victims, and we do hope to get that. And also we want to get injunctive relief from the court, which means the court can order Coke and these other bottlers that are defendants to stop collaborating with armed groups in Colombia that target trade unionists. So that's essentially our goals.
Now, I just want to probe deeper into the lawsuit itself because there's some very novel and interesting issues here. The case was brought under the Alien Tort Statute, the Torture Victim Protection Act, and the RICO statute, which is the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. I think many of our listeners have heard of these. But there's another piece that's quite interesting to me, and that's the Florida's Unfair Business Practices Law. And I did want you to talk more about that because I always like to encourage people when they listen to think about how things can be used or law can be used in the interest of social justice and what it means to have creative lawyers who now have a cause of action, in this case, under the Florida's Unfair Business Practice Law. How does that apply to the suit, Dan?
Almost every state has some sort of analogous law like Florida's. It essentially prohibits companies from trying to gain unfair business advantage through, for example, misleading their consumers. And in this case, we're alleging that the Coca-Cola company has for a number of years, in response to the campaign, against it relating to Columbia, that they've gone around the U.S., for example, to universities, and told students and administrators and told the public that their labor policies in Columbia are, in fact, up to par and that they treat their workers well and treat their unions well. And what we're alleging is that that's just not true, that they're misleading consumers, try to get them to continue to use their product based on misrepresentations of fact. Given the fact there's no question that the Coca-Cola company has been engaged in that type of, I guess, counter campaign is the way to put it, in the U.S., we think that's another way to hold them responsible for the underlying offenses in Colombia.
Well, what we've been looking at thus far is the assassination of trade unionists in Colombia with the complicity of the Colombian DAS and paramilitaries and the liability and complicity of Coke. One of the things that took place, there was to be a vote in the U.S. Congress on providing further aid to the Colombian military. Tell us about that.
There was a vote to continue military aid to Colombia. Since the year 2000, Colombia has been the third largest recipient of U.S. military aid in the world. It's received about $4 billion in military assistance. This at a time that Colombia has led the world in trade union assassinations and also remains the worst human rights violator in the hemisphere, being responsible for the murder also of human rights activists, Catholic priests that speak out in favor of the poor, killing teachers, etc. And most of these murders, as their own State Department has reported, are being carried out by right-wing paramilitaries that, as the State Department also reports, and I urge people to look at their country reports online, are receiving intelligence, ammunition, weapons, troops, and logistical support from the very military that the U.S. is funding. And so Friday, for, you know, another round, Congress was to vote on further military appropriations to Colombia. There was an amendment to the appropriations bill that was sponsored by Congressman Jim McGovern to try to move some of that military assistance to aid for refugees instead. Basically, McGovern and some other congresspeople have taken the position that the aid there is not being well used, that in fact it is being used to support human rights abusers, while at the same time has failed in its chief goal, which is the stated goal, which is to cut down on drugs flow from Colombia, which has actually been a complete failure with coca production actually increasing in Colombia since we began our aid program. So in any case, there was a one-hour debate over that subject, and sadly, McGovern's amendment was voted down, which meant that the full appropriations went to the Colombian military. So again, Congress has voted to continue unbroken military assistance to Colombia.
Well, the Colombian military and police have the worst human rights record in the Western Hemisphere, and it's clear that the U.S. military aid is going directly to the major terrorist networks throughout Colombia, many of whom traffic coca into U.S. markets to fund their activities. What is the website where people can find out more about the litigation that was commenced by the United Steelworkers in conjunction with the International Labor Rights Fund, and more about the whole situation?
Well, you can go to the International Labor Rights Fund website, which is www.laborrights.org, and click on news, and there's a bunch of articles about all of our cases there. You can also go to www.killercoke.org, which is specifically dedicated to the Coca-Cola case. And also in terms of, if you're interested in the legislative issues surrounding military assistance to Colombia, you can go to www.log.org.
Well, Dan Kovalik, I really thank you very much for your efforts on behalf of the trade unionists in Colombia. And let's stop drinking that killer Coke. It is hardly the real thing. And we have been speaking with the Associate General Counsel for the United Steelworkers, Daniel Kovalik.
Farmers worldwide are leading the fight against free trade and corporate globalization. In Brazil, the MST, Landless Workers Movement, has helped over 350,000 families occupy and farm on land where farmers have waged fights against companies like Monsanto and Syngenta involved in genetically modified food. And now Martina Unterberger from the MST, Landless Workers Movement in Brazil.
Boa noite, companheiros e companheiras. Quero dizer que é uma satisfação a gente estar aqui.
I want to say that I'm very satisfied to see everybody here.
E poder perceber e na prática de que aqui também existem pessoas que pensam e se movem e lutam para um mundo mais humano, mais justo, que é a mesma luta nossa.
It's great to see so many people here who are fighting for a more humane and a more just world, which is the same fight that we are fighting in Brazil.
Então, o que vou compartilhar aqui com vocês é um pouco da luta, o que nós fazemos, o que nós somos.
So I'll tell you a little bit about our fight and who we are.
Então, o nosso movimento é o movimento dos trabalhadores rurais sem terra. Se constitui nos anos 80, mais precisamente no ano de 1984.
We are the movement of landless rural workers, and the movement began in the 80s, in 1984.
Não nasceu produto do acaso, é produto do desenvolvimento do capitalismo no campo. Ou seja, quando as nossas sementes crioulas foram substituídas pelas sementes híbridas, os nossos adubos que fazíamos em nossas pequenas propriedades pelos adubos prontamente solúveis, e a nossa forma de trabalho foi substituída pelas máquinas.
The seeds that we used to raise ourselves, that we used to raise on our own farms, were substituted for hybrids, and our labor was substituted for machines.
Tudo isso com apoio oficial, com crédito, para convencer os agricultores de que este modo de produzir, esta substituição seria interessante, mais produtiva, com menos custo e assim por diante.
This all happened with official support, with the availability of credit, so the government promised it would be able to become more productive.
Então, assim é que surge o nosso movimento, com esses agricultores se endividando no banco.
So, at this point, our farmers are indebted to the banks.
E perdendo suas terras.
And losing their lands.
Paralelo a isso, nós temos, desde o ano do descobrimento, ou seja, desde quando os portugueses chegaram ao Brasil.
And so, also in the last year, we discovered that when the Portuguese arrived in Brazil,
temos uma história de concentração das terras.
Since then, we have a story of concentration of lands.
Então, esses agricultores, despossuídos de suas terras e tendo como única profissão a agricultura.
And so, these people gain ownership of our land and professionalize farming.
Encontram novamente uma forma de retornar para casa, digamos assim.
And have taken away the possibility for us to return to the houses where we were born.
E assim passam a fazer ocupação dos latifúndios.
And so our fight is to occupy the large land holdings in Brazil.
Então o nosso principal objetivo é a realização da reforma agrária em nosso país, ou seja, a redistribuição das terras.
Our main goal is to realize land reform, agrarian reform in Brazil, and to redistribute land.
A reforma agrária que entendemos não é apenas a redistribuição das terras.
But we understand that land reform is not only the redistribution of land.
Mas é a democratização do crédito, da assistência técnica, o desenvolvimento do campo como um todo.
But it's also the democratization of credit, dissemination of technical assistance, and the development of the countryside.
Ou seja, transformar o campo brasileiro num espaço do povo brasileiro.
So we want to transform the countryside of Brazil into a space for the people of Brazil.
No entanto, sabemos que não é possível, já experimentamos que não é possível realizar uma verdadeira reforma agrária em nosso país sem haver profundas transformações estruturais.
So we've already tried it, and we know that it's not possible to realize real, true agrarian reform in our country without major structural changes, political and economic.
Especialmente profundas transformações na economia e na política.
Especially without profound changes in the economy and policy.
O que significa dizer, em outras palavras, é que a prioridade de investimento precisa ser para os pequenos, para a reforma agrária.
So what I want to say in other words is that the main priority of policy needs to be investment in the people of the countryside.
Ou seja, é necessário construirmos projeto popular para a agricultura brasileira.
Or that is to say we need to construct a popular project for Brazilian agriculture.
Lutamos precisamente para que isto se torne realidade no nosso país. Esta situação de redistribuição, enfim, de acesso de quem precisa à terra, ao crédito, na construção de projeto popular para a agricultura brasileira.
So this is precisely what we're fighting for, is a real true agrarian reform that begins with redistribution of land, but also involves technical assistance, democratization of credit, so that the people of Brazil can have true agrarian reform.
Não somos uma ilha, portanto temos influência, temos os mesmos problemas já citados aqui, das transnacionais que nos impõem, que mandam no nosso país.
We're not islands. We feel the same effects of the transnational corporations that other people have been talking about today. We face these same challenges.
O que muitas vezes nos força a ação árduas, duras, mas necessárias.
And these battles, these fights are difficult, they're very challenging, but they're very necessary.
Como é o caso da ocupação de terras, que não é algo fácil de ser realizado.
As in the case of occupation of land, it's not an easy task, but it's necessary.
Para proteger as nossas sementes crioulas, para que possamos continuar existindo como camponeses.
To protect our seeds so that we can continue our livelihoods as peasants.
Não é possível pensar numa família camponesa sem que ela tenha as sementes.
It's impossible to think of a peasant family that doesn't have control over its own seeds.
A semente significa autonomia, soberania, poder de decisão sobre o seu futuro.
Seeds mean sovereignty, they mean survival, and they are the key to our future.
Então, por isso, lutamos contra a Monsanto, por exemplo, contra a Syngenta.
And so because of this, we're fighting against Monsanto, we're fighting against Syngenta.
E outras empresas talvez aqui menos conhecidas, como é o caso da Aracruz Celulose.
And other companies that maybe here are less well known, like La Cruz.
Fazemos ações muito concretas.
We're doing actions very concrete.
Como é o caso de nós ocuparmos e destruirmos campos de experimentação de milho transgênico, de soja transgênica, de mudas de eucalipto transgênico destas empresas.
For example, we occupy and destroy experimental fields of transgenic corn, transgenic soy, and these are experimental fields, and also of transgenic eucalyptus.
Não pensem vocês que isto é algo fácil ou algo gostoso de ser realizado.
And I don't want you to think that this is something easy or something that we like to do.
Mas é necessário para que possamos continuar existindo e tendo futuro para nossos filhos em nosso país, que tem uma riquíssima biodiversidade, muita terra e muita possibilidade para todos viverem bem.
But it is absolutely necessary if we're going to guarantee the future of our children in our land that is incredibly rich in biodiversity and natural wealth.
Neste sentido, para que nós possamos, de fato, alcançar este objetivo de continuarmos existindo como camponeses, nós estamos também, nós fazemos parte da Via Campesina.
And so, to this end, in fighting for our future as peasants, we are part of the La Via Campesina.
Porque sabemos que sozinhos não faremos muita coisa.
Because we know that by ourselves we can't accomplish much.
Além da Via Campesina, estamos no intento há vários anos de construirmos algo que nós denominamos de consulta popular.
And besides our membership in Via Campesina, we're constructing another project called the Popular Consultation.
Que é fórum que organiza, que articula, que reúne todos e todas as pessoas e organizações em nosso país que lutam concretamente pela transformação social, política e econômica.
And this is a forum that brings together people, organizations, anyone in our country who is fighting to construct an alternative that is more humane and democratized.
Quero dizer-lhes também que, assim como já foi citado aqui pela companheira da Índia, em nosso país também, fruto dessa pressão das transnacionais, os preços dos produtos agrícolas vêm diminuindo drasticamente ao longo dos últimos anos.
And like my companheira from India, we're also feeling the same pressure from multinational corporations in terms of the lowering of prices for our agricultural commodities in our country.
A cada ano, milhares de famílias saem do campo.
Every year, thousands of families leave the countryside.
Porque as perspectivas para os pequenos agricultores, para os camponeses, são bastante negras.
And the perspective for farmers, for peasants, is very black.
Então precisamos cada vez mais dessa solidariedade e dessa articulação internacional.
And so we need more and more. We have a necessity for solidarity and for international cooperation.
Precisamos em todos os campos, em todas as categorias, em todos os níveis, nos organizarmos e lutarmos contra essas formas de exclusão e de dominação que estão sobre nós.
So we need at every organization, at every level, we need to fight against the domination of these multinational companies and the repression of this economic system.
O capital materializado nos bancos, nas transnacionais.
The capital that is in the banks and in the transnational corporations.
No FMI, na AUCA e na OMC.
In the FTAA and in the WTO.
Não tem nada de humano.
There's nothing about it that's humane.
A possibilidade dos trabalhadores e pobres do mundo conquistarem a sua libertação.
And the workers and the farmers around the world that are fighting for and achieving their freedom.
E dignidade.
Their dignity.
Podemos esperá-la.
For them we can hope.
À medida que formos capazes de construí-la.
To encourage their capacity to construct this future.
Gracias.
Thank you.
And you were listening to Martina Unterberger with the MST, the Landless Workers Movement in Brazil.
And Martina Unterberger spoke at a conference recently in New York City, sponsored by Cornell's Global Labor Institute and recorded by WBAI reporter Fred Gwen.
And this concludes our program. And for Building Bridges, I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.